We thank you for your tangible presence in our midst. Again, as we go into your word, shepherd of our soul, we've made the choice to listen for your voice. Help us now. Lead us into your word. Anoint me afresh. Help me speak as I should, indeed as an oracle of God. I pray you put the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me. Those who are physically present here, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely electronically. So that your word will flow freely, Father, from you through me to your people. To do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, Father, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Spirit of God be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of these things which they hear and are hearers only. I further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in their individual lives, all agreed individually and said, we're going to continue, keep playing that very quietly in the background. That's a great song. There are some of these anointed songs that came over the years, some as far back 200-300 years ago, some more contemporary. And God watches over his word to perform it. When they sing songs that touch his heart, his presence shows up. Always. Today we're going to continue our study on the dynasty of David, overcoming rebellion. And today we are going to focus primarily on the character of Adonijah, even though we will say a few things about Solomon, and then we'll continue with Solomon in full bloom next week, or my next teaching on this. It's crucial for every Christian to understand that we are living in the time of the dynasty, the spiritual dynasty of David. Let me correct myself on that. We are living in the time in which the dynasty of David in the church is imminent, because what we have experienced hitherto has been the spiritual kingship of Saul. Saul represents the Pentecostal denominational system. God has used it, still using it, but it's not his perfect will. The primary difference between Saul and David is that David was a man after God's own heart, who was willing to do all, with the emphasis on the word all, the will of God. Saul, on the other hand, did the will of God to a degree, but he didn't do it all, particularly in the killing of the Amalekites, which is a type of the flesh. And it's very rampant today. Hardly anywhere you go, they'll tell you. Always hear this, oh, well, we're still in the flesh. Well, as long as we're in the flesh, we can never be perfect, which is directly contrary to what the scripture says when it says, you know, having therefore these promises daily, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all. It didn't say some, it said all, you know. And so many places in the Bible, it says, as it is, so are we in this world. You know, if you keep his word, verily is the law of God in us perfected. That belief is directly contrary to the New Testament scriptures, and is based on human experience and the fact that men don't really want to do all the will of God. You know, this may surprise you, you know, and it should shock you, but it's true. You know, most people don't even want to be perfect. They don't even want to be. You know why? You know, they enjoy sin too much. They still enjoy some of the things that they do. The Bible says, love not the world, things that are in the world. Some people still love the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, and they don't want to upset that apple cart. They still want to, you know, indulge, and they can always use the excuse, well, we're still in the flesh, and nobody can overcome the flesh, but God's going to change that. The second thing about the soul system is that it creates an artificial church growth system in the form of branches. When people, you know, set up a branch, just like you open a franchise like Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's. So, okay, I want to go to Ibadan, so I go and set up a branch there. Now, he has to post a man there. They have to send somebody there. Now, sometimes the person could actually be anointed and called, which is a good thing, but many times it's not. And that's equivalent to the system that we had under Saul or under the kingship system, which was a biological monarchy. In other words, the next king must be one of the sons of the present king, whether he's called of God or not, anointed or not, suitable or not. And God never wanted that. That was why Joshua was not the son of Moses. And God told them, I don't want you to do that. But they insisted, so God gave them a king. And then he said, well, let me help you. If your king will do this, when he becomes king, he should write a copy of this law, you know, and he should read it every day, and he should say it with his mouth and pray. He said, then, you know, he will learn to fear God, and his heart will not be lifted up above his brethren, you know. He should not multiply wives to himself. He should not multiply horses to himself. He should not multiply gold and silver to himself. It is a sad commentary of the history of Israel and the church that this has not been obeyed. In the history of Israel, we find that majority of the kings were bad. We had a few good ones, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, Josiah, I think Amaziah, I can't remember very well, you know, of course, David, Solomon, will give Solomon half mark, you know, all the rest were bad. Exonerating God. God said, don't do this thing. But God had put a system into it. If they had obeyed that thing, even though they did the biological monarchy, if each king obeyed God, he would have then been automatically a part of the spiritual dynasty. So God had known that the biological will not work. So he instituted a Davidic spiritual dynasty, you know, that Jesus Christ exemplified. And from Christ, he was going to bring out a whole new series of kings. But they're going to be spiritual kings, like I spoke about during the Bible study. We are now approaching the, let me say the way Jesus said it, the hour is coming and now is. That's the best way to say it. It's imminent, you know, where the Davidic, the David type of kingship is going to come in the church. Hitherto, what we've seen is a Saul kind of kingship characterized by the things that I just mentioned. And because of this, the exciting characters that are prominent or that featured in the account, scriptural account of the life of David, that represents people who succumbed to certain types of spiritual forces, you know, that caused them to be the characters that they became and behave in the way that they did. It behoves us now as New Testament Christians, as we make this transition from a Saul type of kingship to a David type of kingship to a Davidic dynasty, a Davidic spiritual dynasty, for us to learn about these characters so that we can find out why they failed and so we don't follow their example. And then the good ones, we copy their example so that we can follow their example so that we can fulfill our prophetic destinies. Many Christians don't realize this. Every child of God, every human being for that matter, has a spiritual destiny that has been ordained by God that is written inside the scriptures. Revelation chapter 22 verse 19 says that if any man, you know, if he doesn't keep the words of this, takes away from the word of this book, he said his part shall be taken away from the book of life. Every human being has a part in the book of life originally. Now, if he doesn't fulfill it, it will be removed. his part can be taken away from the holy city. And then his part can be taken away from the things that are written in this book. So there is something written in the Bible for everybody. And it behoves you and I to dig into the Bible through prayer and acting on God's word to find out what these things are and to fulfill them. Now, turn with me firstly in your Bible to Romans chapter 15, verse 4. The very familiar scripture should be in the light of these prophetic teachings. It says, for whatsoever, I didn't hear you. Things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. So turn to your neighbor and say, everything you read in the Bible, everything you read in the life of David, in the Davidic dynasty, was written for your learning. That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. This is a great, and it's in the New Testament. This is where one of the big mistakes some of our faith, word of faith people make, where the Old Testament is not important, God's done away with the Old Testament, and Jesus has said it's finished, God has put away the law, well, it's true, he's put away the ceremonial observances of the law, since we don't have to go to Jerusalem every 3 times a year, we don't have to make any animal sacrifices for our sins. Sure, all that's been put away, but not the Word of God. The Word of God was never put away. We're supposed to learn from the Word of God according to the Scripture. So right now, we're studying the character Adonijah. Last time we looked at Absalom. Absalom was one of David's sons. Sadly, David didn't bring his children up properly. We're going to see that more today. To cut a long story short, he had all kinds of... Absalom had a terrible heart. He wasn't like his dad at all. He held a grudge against his brother. What his brother did was very wrong. He raped his sister, and he planned, to murder his brother. He murdered him, fled to Geshur, where his mom came from, spent about 2 or 3 years there, then came back, and then David didn't see him. He got angry because of that. Then he went to burn the fields of Joab. Joab takes him to David and begs on his behalf. David accepts him back. Then he plans rebellion against his dad. And he almost kills his own father. It was just the mercy of God that kept David. Absalom would have killed him. If Absalom had listened to the counsel of Ahithophel, David would have been killed that day. But David had prayed that God should turn the counsel of Ahithophel, and God turned it by sending Hushai, David's friend, who now advised Absalom in a different manner, and said, look, let's build up our forces before we go after your dad, because your dad is a warrior. They'll be hiding in some place. They'll be able to, surprise us, And he listened to that, God turning the counsel of Ahithophel. And by that, David was saved. And David was able to come back. Absalom died in the ensuing civil war. His hair was caught in a branch. And Joab saw him, and Joab was angry. And rightly so. Rightly so, and he killed him with three spears, javelins. David started weeping for Absalom, which was a wrong thing to do, everybody was feeling ashamed. And Joab had to confront David. Now, in this, Joab was wrong. We're going to see this as we go on today. No matter what David did, he didn't have a right to confront David the way he did. The Bible says, rebuke not an elder. And didn't put any condition there. Just said, don't do it. He should have entreated him. He could have said the same thing by saying, David, I understand. I myself, I love Absalom. I was the one that brought Absalom back. I was the one that brought I know how you're feeling. I know how you're feeling. But it was necessary for Absalom to die. Look at all the innocent people who have died. Please, don't be angry. Be comforted. God has delivered. David would have listened to him. He could have said the same thing in a nicer way. But he said it as a threat. He said it in rebellion. And it's a lesson all of us need to learn. No matter how justified you are in what you're saying, you must entreat. If he's an elder. He said, rebuke, not an elder. He had no right to rebuke David. He rebuked David and threatened him with a worse rebellion. David listened, but what Joab did was very wrong. You know, there are other characters that we're going to be looking at as God helps us. You know, we're going to look at Nathan. You know, Nathan also knew David's weaknesses. You know, but he didn't take advantage of it. He didn't throw it in David's face. He wasn't rude to David. He did not rebuke David. He corrected him when he was wrong, but he wasn't rude to him. Joab was downright rude and rebellious. And two wrongs never make a right. Yes, David was wrong, but what Joab did was also wrong. And I tell you something about God, folks. You know, God doesn't forget. Especially if you don't repent of that attitude. You know, and we're going to see that today. So let's now begin to look at Adonijah. 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings, this is good stuff, folks. This is the meat of the Bible. You know, a lot of people don't go deep into these things, and therefore they make the same mistakes these guys are making. They don't realize that Scripture is talking about them. There is, that's Adonijah. No, it's you. And me. That's why I said it's written for our learning. 1 Kings chapter 1. And the first five verses, I'm not going to read them. I'm going to read the first verse and then I'll just summarize. It says, now King David was old and stricken in years, and they had covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. David wasn't old. He was only 70. But years of lack of self-control with women had seeped into his system. You can now understand what I shared with us during the Bible study. It says if you commit fornication, you sin against your own body. You weaken your own body. This is what happened to David. He was only 70 years old. But, you know, as a young boy, by the time David was 30, he already had three wives. What are you doing with that? For heaven's sake. Anyway, that's what he did. You know, so by the time he was 70, all his physical strength had abated, you know. Oh, he wasn't like Caleb. At 85, Caleb was stronger than he was when he was 45. He couldn't get any heat, you know. You know, his body, they needed to start covering him. To cut a long story short, you know, they said, okay, you know, he's old. He wasn't really old. He was 70, but he wasn't old. I shared with us the other day, you know, God has made available, not expects. He has made available to us for us to lead up to 120. The correct thing is not 70 or 80. That, again, comes from not reading the Bible properly. People are, the years are liar, 70 or 80. Read in his context. He was talking about the people who perished in the wilderness because of their disobedience. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Bible says, our days are 120. Anyway, so he still had 50 years. It was only 70. So he wasn't old. But he was old relatively, you know. Stricken in years. So they said, look, let's get a young girl. And they know he likes girls. David. You know, so they look for a young Abishag. You know, a fair young virgin. You know, said, look, let her stay with him and be covering his and sleep with him in the bed so that he will have heat, you know, and it will help him. You know, well, they did it, and the girl came and looked after him, you know, and all that. But David never had sex with her. He had learned his lesson, but too late. Alas, alas. He had learned his lesson. I wish he had done this when he was 30. You know, he wouldn't have fallen into this. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is written for our learning. Now, he has a son, verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself. What does God say to people who exalt themselves? They will be humbled. Don't do do that thing. We'll see as we go on. Exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen. Watch it again, Pastor Gwega. And 50 men to run. Exactly what Absalom did. That is why it was Bill Britton that brought this out. I read in his book, Eagle Saints Arise, and some of his other books. I can't remember exactly which one. You know, and it struck me, and I checked it, I researched it, and prayed about it. You know, it represents the Pentecostal anointing. That's why it's 50. And it all, you see, the purpose of Pentecost, hear me and hear me well, dearly beloved brethren, is to take us into tabernacles. We're not to camp there. You camp in Pentecost. After a while, if you don't look into the deeper things of God, it's that anointing will get corrupted. And then you exalt yourself. Then you have 50 men running before you. Observe our Pentecostal preachers and pastors today. Some of the most outstanding, the correct word is not outstanding, the correct word is glaring. The glaring faults are pride, title loving. Have you noticed? 50 men to run before them. You know, pride is such a, is endemic. Everybody who likes titles, position, that's why they're always fighting in dominations. Everybody's trying to get close to Gio. When I say Gio, I'm just talking as a generic term, not a particular person. You know, want to get close to the senior pastor, the general, so that they can post him to a good place. You know, all this is all the 50. 50. Now, verse 6 is one of the most important verses in this teachings we're involved in. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? He was also a very goodly man, very handsome. And his mother bare him after Absalom. Him and Absalom, same mother. You can see the same characteristics. You know? Now, I'm going to read this in some other translations so that you get it. I like the message. Look at what the message says. His father has spoiled him rotten as a child, never once reprimanding him. Beside that, he was very good looking, and next in line after Absalom. That's why he felt he should be king. Absalom, my brother, is dead. Now, Emilokan. I don't know where that came from, but it's the Bible. I will just leave it like that. No comment. I'm not going anywhere. I didn't say, thus said the Lord, though. I know people are going to start quoting me. Adonijah said, Emilokan. Truly. Whether that has an application or not, that's in God's hands. It's not my own. You understand? You know, good looking. You know, there's something about having good looks or being endowed in any area. Maybe you're mentally endowed, intellectually. You know, some people are just gifted. Everything is a gift, you know. Something like me, for example, to the glory of God, I can't draw a yam. If they put a yam down, I can't draw it. I'm not good in drawing, you know, but in some other areas I am. And I discovered, you know, when I was in secondary school and, you know, my early years, I discovered that it's a gift. Just some people just have a gift. It's God who gave all of us. And the Yorubas have a saying, "Oman kwinko karini." What that means, that God always gives to everybody. You know, you might have a weakness in one area, but you find you have a strength in another area. Another person will have it. You know, God is wise and he's fair. Give the Lord a clap offering. So, you know, this boy was handsome. I'm sure they had some of the traits of their dad, because David was a very good-looking guy. You know, and there's something about when you're gifted and you're talented, it gets to your head. If you don't use the word of God to control your heart, and you become proud, and you become, you know, arrogant. And that's what happened to Adonijah. Is it not a travesty. Is it not a surprise lesson of history that he did not learn from what happened to Absalom? Because that just happened. It wasn't when he was a baby. It was in his lifetime. When Absalom was doing that, he was a young man too. He saw what happened to Absalom and he never learned from it. And that's a lesson we need to learn from. We need to learn from other people's mistakes. Absalom went this way. This same Absalom had 50 chariots. He put 50 men. Where did he wind up? Hell. And you now too, you said you will have 50 men. And just like Absalom, I will be king. It tells you something. That mere reading of the Bible, even hearing our people's stories, will not change your heart. The only thing that will change your heart is this word. The only thing that would have helped Adonijah and Absalom and any of the others, you know, would have been to do Deuteronomy 17. When you have a king, don't multiply horses. They did that. Exactly contrary to what the Bible said. He said, don't multiply horses. He said, don't multiply wives. I didn't say this last week, but I'll just mention it now. One of the most horrible things that Ahithophel did. And you know, God has a way of disciplining people. You know the counsel Ahithophel gave Absalom? You know, when David fled from the palace, he left the concubines so that they could, you know, keep the house and, you know, and all that. This is Absalom who told him to do this. Absalom said, your father has run away. He said, take his concubines. Go and make a tent on top of the palace so everybody will see. Then go and start having sex with your father's concubines, so in the sight of all Israel. Then everybody will know that your father can never reconcile with you again, because it's an abomination of what you've done. You know, and they will follow you in the rebellion. Can you imagine? May we not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Truly, God had turned the counsel of Ahithophel. Because that is a counsel straight from hell. And you know what? Foolish boy Absalom, he obeyed it. He did it. But it was that it might be fulfilled. That it was spoken by Nathan the prophet. When Nathan gave the prophetic word to David and said, you took Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. He said, you did it in secret. He said, but when I'm going to deal with you, it's going to be done openly and in the sight of all Israel. I will take your wives and they will lie with you. They will take your wives and concubines. And in the sight of all Israel, it was fulfilled. Exactly like Nathan said. It is one of the very, very sad and very, very regrettable, you know. But I want to tell you something about, I need to mention this, about bad prophecies. When I say evil prophecy, you know, sometimes a prophecy can come as prophecy of judgment, a prophecy of judgment, you know. Something terrible is going to happen. But you know you can change it through prayer. And repentance. Mercy will triumph over judgment. David could have prayed and said, God, don't let this. And it wouldn't have happened. Hezekiah prayed, God, extend my life. And he did. The prophet, solid prophet, Isaiah, said, set your house in order, for you will surely. He didn't say maybe. He said, surely you will die. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall, prays. Before Isaiah gets out of the courtyard, you know, God had turned the thing around. What I'm saying is that sometimes when you've done something wrong, God forbid, and you pray to God and ask God for mercy and pray that prayer, Lord, let mercy triumph over judgment. And the way it's going to work is through the honesty of your heart and then you showing mercy to other people. David could have avoided this, you know. It was one of horrible, horrible, and God didn't forget. You know, when Ahithophel, I didn't say this last week, when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not taken by Absalom, he knew God was against him, because Ahithophel knew God. Once Absalom did not chase David that very first night, he knew that they were going to be defeated. He knew that God was not on the side of the rebellion. And watch this. Say for everybody, say for our learning. All these things are for our learning. Look at what Ahithophel did. You know what he should have done? He should have repented and ran to go and meet David in the wilderness. And bow himself and prostrate and said, I have played the fool. In fact, I would have told Absalom, stop this rebellion. Let's just all go back to David. Stop this immediately. It's not going to work. God is still on David's side. You know, God would have had mercy. But you know what he did? Pride, bitterness, you know. Instead of submitting to God, the Bible says he went to his house and he hanged himself. Went straight to hell. Just joined Absalom. You have no right to take your own life. Someone said, why? You didn't give it to yourself. What an answer. Only God can give. You know why you can't take your life? You didn't give it to yourself. Who gave you life in your mother's womb? It was not of your own free will. You didn't make a decision that I will be conceived. You did not make a decision that I will be born. If it was not you who gave yourself life, then you don't have a right to take it. Only the God who gave it has a right to take it. Suicide is a sin. It will send you straight to hell. So Ahithophel went to hell. So let's get back to Adonijah. A silly boy, you know, he doesn't learn from his brother's mistake. Another thing, you know, no fear of God. You know, by the time you even think, look at what happened to Absalom. I mean, it's still fresh. You know, even fear. Don't let me do that. But I'm going to tell you, God told me this, you know. Why did Adonijah do this? Why did he think he could get away with it? David was old and he had become weak. So he thought, David can't do anything. He's too old. And then he had some very bad boys who agreed with him. Incidentally, this is just free of charge. The name Adonijah is a great name, you know. I'll tell you what it means. I'm looking at the Hebrew right now. My Lord is Jehovah. What a great name. But he never lived up to the destiny. Simply changing your name will not change your destiny. You can have the best name in the world. If you don't keep the word of God in your heart and obey the and practice God's word and pray, your destiny will not change. Yes, God changed Abraham's name, you know, and he changed his destiny. But Abraham was already obedient. He already was believing God before God changed his name. That's why it worked. Adonijah. My Lord is Jehovah, but Jehovah was not his Lord. That's just, the Bible says, turn to your neighbor and say, for our learning. I'm going to be saying that a lot throughout this message. For our learning. So it's important to have a good name. You know, if you have a very terrible name, you can change it. You know, particularly a bad name, like it should be. You know, my name is Olubi. It means God is born. God forbid, if I had been called Eshubi, I would have changed the name. Who wants to be born of the devil? God forbid. You know, so everybody have it. But just changing your name and just thinking that, oh, if I change my name, automatically my destiny will change is a lie. Even if you have a great name, if you don't live correctly, that destiny will not change. This boy had a great destiny. He blew it. All right. Now, verse 7. And he conferred with Joab. The son of Zeruiah. I want to tell you something about Joab. I mentioned this last time, but let me repeat it. Joab and his brothers were all nephews of David. David was their uncle. Joab's mom was David's sister. As if our learning. Let me finish the verse. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar, the priest, and they following Adonijah helped him. Oh my God. Someone's going to ask, how can this happen? When there is rebellion in your heart and you don't use the word of God to deal with it, it will increase. You see, that this Joab was David's commander-in-chief. He was the leader of the army. One of the closest people to David. And there were many times he did good things. For example, when he went to go and bring Absalom back, you know, he did it out of love for David. Are you listening to me? There was another time, you know, you need to read your Bible properly. There was another time David wanted to do a census, which was not the will of God. And Joab picked correctly that it was not the will of God. And Joab told David, this Nigerian translation, you know, oh God, this is not necessary. Why should we do this? And God will get angry with us, you know. But David insisted and Joab obeyed. Because you must always obey the final authority, you know. And so, occasionally, I want to say for our learning, Joab was not a bad man. He was a good man. He was loyal to David for years. But he had character faults. He was vengeful. He had a streak of rebellion in him, and he never used the word of God to deal with it. So over the years, it accumulated. So when Absalom rebelled, Joab didn't follow Absalom. In fact, he was the one who killed Absalom. He was loyal to David. But when Adonijah rebelled, his heart had deteriorated. I would say for our learning. His heart had deteriorated to the place where he now cooperated with Adonijah, whereas he had to have rebuked him. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. It's the same reason that Adonijah tried what he tried. They felt David was too weak. He was old. He was not as strong as he used to be. He was in the house most of the time. The God got this tiny little girl to go and be looking after him. They had written David off. He's going to die soon anyway. So, you know, you will see this truth in many of the Psalms, where they will be praying that, you know, my enemies, a loathsome disease has taken hold of me. My enemies are laughing. My enemies think, you know, that God has forsaken him. He's all there. It was when he was going through his travails, firstly with Absalom, then secondly with Adonijah. So anyway, David, Joab, you know, he should have known better. He should have known better. You know, if Adonijah rises himself up, God forbid, I will not be Joab. But if I was Joab, I would have said, what did David say? Ah, you know, and many of us make that mistake, even here in church. People will come and meet you and say, do, 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 do. Oh, yes. But did you say, what did pastor say? Many, especially if you have a landing site for rebellion, you find that you never go back to find out from authority. You do what you would like to do or what seemeth good in your eyes in order to look good with other people or for what advantage you can get. Joab should have. It was a simple, straightforward question. Adonijah, did David tell you that? Oh yeah, let's go to David. They're going to see in the next few verses. And with Abiathar the priest. Abiathar is another character. He was a priest, but he wasn't as faithful as he should have been. And one of the reasons was a generational curse. Abiathar came from the line of Eli. Now, you know, but Pastor Jay, you know, all those things don't really matter. If you decide to use the word of God, doesn't matter who your father is or your grandfather is, you can change your own heart. Hallelujah. Somebody sent me a very lovely, interesting write-up. It was written by somebody. You know, I just summarize it. He gave a history of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he wrote it in a poetic form, like a satire. You know, Abraham, that one went to sleep with his house girl. Judah, that one slept with his daughter-in-law, you know, who pretended to be a prostitute. You know, Rahab, that one was a harlot. Remember no Rahab? Hello? You know, it was from Rahab that you now got Ruth. You know, that Ruth came in, who was a Moabite, you know, and all of that. And then he wrote it in that kind of way. He said, who would like to come from such a terrible line? Yet that was the line Jesus came through. Give the Lord a clap offering. What God is telling you is that it doesn't matter what your background is. If you will walk with me, I will perfect everything that concerns you. Don't your neighbor say, for our learning. So having bad parents, having bad grandparents, you know, cannot change your own destiny if you decide to use the word of God. Are you listening to me? And you know the truth about the matter? If you go back far enough, there is none of us that has a perfect pedigree. Nobody. Nobody on the earth. You know why? We're all partakers of the sin nature. If you take it back, you can take it 2-3 generations, you will find that there was one terrible guy that did one terrible thing somewhere, you know, but that won't affect you. Now, that generational sin is there and its effect, but you can neutralize it through Jesus Christ. For Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that the blessing of Abraham might come through the Gentile. This same Abraham who gave his blessing, he wasn't the straightest guy around. He told lies. He said, you are my sister. Now, I know she was his half-sister, but he was telling a lie. You know, then, you know, Sarah comes up with this great idea that, you know, this is my Hagar that we brought from Egypt. Go and lie with her. It should have been Abraham who should have said, Sarah, come, stop that nonsense. We're going to trust God. Yes. Everybody went quiet. I say, for our learning. So what's to learn? What Abraham did was wrong. And God was displeased with him and didn't talk to him for 14 years. Then he appeared to him at 99 and said, I am, as if he didn't know. I mean, he had called him in Haran 25 years before. So he knew God, you know, but he had kind of backslidden, you know. He said, I am El Shaddai. In other words, you don't know me properly yet. Stand upright on thy feet. He said, walk before me and be upright. And stop this nonsense. Now, go and circumcise yourself. So even our father Abraham. And then, you know the story now. Jacob, Baba, mighty God of Jacob. Ba, supplanter. You know, you can go from character. Isaac was fair. You know, you can go from character to character. You see all kinds of people in the Bible narrative and in the genealogy. And you know, the thing about God is that God is so honest, he recorded everything correctly. If it was you and I, there's only one who record. God is telling us that it doesn't matter. My grace is sufficient. I can overcome the infirmities of your fathers. Hallelujah. And make you what I want you to be. If you will make covenant with me. I learned that, you know, when I became a Christian, like I said, every family, everybody has their own one problem or the other. You know, I made up my mind I was going to follow this thing, you know, respect of what my dad did or what my grandfather did or what my, you know, family did on whichever side, you know, love them and all of that, but I'm going to do what God did. You know, it's very interesting. I'll just say this, hit it, and I'll run with it, you know, and see how far we can go before I close tonight, this afternoon. Then we'll take it up from here next week. You know, you need to understand, you know, someone like Paul, for example, his pedigree is not recorded. We don't know Paul's dad. We don't know his mom. He's nothing about his genealogy. We only know he had a sister who had a son who came to the palace to inform the Roman officer when they were planning to kill him. That's all we know about Paul's family. Nothing is recorded, and I believe it's deliberate. They probably just didn't believe in what Paul was doing. They probably just, you know, wrote him off. But Paul didn't care. Paul had many sons. He had the Timothys and the Tituses. Hallelujah. He had many mothers. He had many sisters that God gave him in Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your natural family is. If you will follow God, God will help you. Are you listening to me? In this lifetime, you will receive a hundredfold brothers and sisters and mothers. Okay. Let's say for our learning. Verse 8. But Zadok. This is where Zadok comes in, Pastor Andrew. Pastor Andrew, one of his sons was named Zadok. You know. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, not the bad Shimei, the good one, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Look at loyalty. Look at loyalty. I would say Nathan, Zadok, Benaiah. I don't like Shimei, but well, one other Shimei did very bad. Oh, they were loyal. And you know what? This is also, it's still happening in the church today as I'm speaking. The rebellious people never go and consult with the loyal people because they know they will never agree with them. So, Adonijah, watch this. He said, the Zadok the priest, they were not with Adonijah. Verse 9. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel. And called, watch this, all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants, but Nathan and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. You still see the same thing in the church today. When people want to do something that is rebellious, or something, they would tell certain people who they know will agree with them. Then some other people who they know that are loyal to authority, they won't tell those ones. Everybody, tell your neighbor, say, for our learning. Nothing has changed. Same spirits, same spiritual forces. The characters change from generation to generation, but the same spiritual forces of God and the devil have never changed. That's why you still see these same things at play. They didn't tell them. Why didn't they tell them? They knew what they would say. They knew they would not agree with them. And they tried to do this thing, you know. I got to close. I'm going to just, we'll talk about how this thing, you know, how it was scattered. And we'll stop with Adonijah today. And then we'll pick it up next week and talk more Adonijah and Solomon, and then move on, you know, because there's some other things, you know, I can't get into that today. So anyway, they don't tell Nathan because they know his loyalty. They don't tell Benaiah, who's the head of the army, you know, the mighty man. Solomon, his brother, he didn't call. Now, I want you to observe something. This is one of the reasons why polygamy is an evil. Turn to your neighbor, say, for our learning. David had many wives. Each wife had sons. Everybody wants his own son to be the next king. You see, it happens today. When we have a big man, a rich man, if he has money, you know, you find that, you know, all the wives will be competing so that their own children will be born who will inherit most. Hello? You know what I'm talking about. It's common in Yoruba land. Very common. You know? And so he didn't tell Solomon. And I'll tell you one reason. They felt Solomon was too small. All these boys were born before Solomon. Absalom, Adonijah, and they were not the only ones. There were other boys too. So, and then Solomon is the product of an adulterous affair. Everybody knows the story. David killed Bathsheba's husband, marries her, then has this Solomon, and then this upstart Solomon is going to be king. God forbid, bad thing. That's the thinking. And do you know it makes sense in the natural? That is why you must not, I would say for our learning, you must not do things according to sense, human sense and thinking. What they felt, look, who is Solomon? His mother is just somebody. I mean, our mothers were properly married. Even though it was polygamy, but it was accepted in the Old Testament. You know? So we are legitimate sons. This Solomon is an illegitimate son from an illegitimate affair that was a consequence of murder. He must never see the throne. So he called his other brothers. He called Joab. He called Abiathar and some of the other big men and said, look, I will be king. And he did a feast. And everybody said, yeah, that makes sense. I mean, Solomon should not be. The hearing, the news of this thing is where we're going to close, you know. He gets to Nathan. Everybody give Nathan a super clap offering. A great man. A loyal man. Another clap offering. You know, Nathan is alive. Nathan quickly goes to Bathsheba and says, I'm going to say it in Yoruba, then I'll go translate it back to English. Eti emelo. You better quickly run now and ask David that, didn't you promise that it was Solomon who is going to be king? But we hear that Adonijah is declaring himself king. Is it something you've done, you know? Is it you who gave them permission to do this? You know, he said, because if you don't do this and David dies suddenly, they will just say they have become king and they will execute you and your son. This will be translation. I'm summarizing. Yes. So Bathsheba, you know, and Nathan said, you go into David, go and tell him. He said, as you are telling him, I will come and join you and I will reinforce what you're saying. So Bathsheba quickly runs to David and said, you know, oh my Lord, you know, this and Adonijah has done this. Maybe you've done it, you know, and I did not know. And David said, no, I didn't give Adonijah any permission. He said, you know, I promised you that Solomon, your son, our son, is going to be the next king. I did not give him. As she's talking, Nathan comes in. Nathan says, hey, yes, sir. You know, they've just had a big feast, you know, and Adonijah and all the boys and everybody are saying, God save King Adonijah. David, for once in his life, David does something decisive about his children. Now, that's his weakness. We saw it. He spoiled them rotten, according to the Message Bible. Never rebuked them. David gets up from the bed and straightens himself up and says, Bathsheba, I promised you it's going to be Solomon. He said, let him bring my mule and set Solomon on it. Call Zadok. Call Nathan. And let them anoint, while I'm still alive, anoint Solomon as king and declare, God save the king. That's where the British got it from. They got it from the Bible. God save King Solomon. You know? And once he did that, And then all the palace guards, the people under Benaiah and all of these guys, they all began, and then they began to, you know, rejoice and everything, put Solomon, and began to shout. The whole ground was trembling. News comes to Adonijah and his Vashti party. Everyone say, for our learning. News comes to him. God has declared, David has declared and anointed Solomon as king. You boys are in bad trouble. The Bible says the whole party scattered. You know, when you do something decisive, you deal with rebellion. When you are indecisive, you give rebellion a chance to foster. Everyone say, for our learning. So that's why immediately they heard. The Bible says everybody scattered to their house. So Adonijah does something. We're going to close with this. Adonijah runs. That time the temple had not yet been built. But there was a place where, you know, the Holy of Holies was, and the temple, you know, the altar of burnt offering. So he does, it's a symbolic thing in Israel. He runs to the altar of incense. You know, not the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering. And he holds the horns of the altar. That is an asking for mercy. So David, having done for once in his life about his children, he did something that was decisive. Solomon was now established while David was still alive. So David, you know, Solomon is now king. So message comes to Solomon. Everybody stand to your feet. This stuff is good. And they say, behold, Adonijah holds the horns of the altar. No, he doesn't do that. Not now. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't miss next week for our learning. So he says, go and call him. So Adonijah now comes to Solomon and bows himself and pays homage and obeisance to Solomon and says, you know, let me just paraphrase it, Ulubi translation, forgive me, forgive the rebellion and all of that, you know. Ordinary Solomon should have killed him. But Solomon did the right thing. He doesn't have the heart of Haggith, the mother of Absalom. And if it had been either Absalom or something, they would have killed him. But Solomon has a good heart. He had. It deteriorated sadly. But he had. You know, Solomon said, all right, no problem. Show yourself to be a man. Don't get involved in anything else and you'll be fine. And he releases him. And that's where the story, you know, come next week and go and do your homework. Go and read the remaining part of the Bible to see what happens after, at the death of David. Then David now dies and see what happened. Let's talk to God. Don't be like Adonijah. Don't be like Absalom. Don't be like Adonijah. Even though, watch this, you are the son of the king. Everyone say, for our learning. See, being the son of the king does not give you a right to rebellion. It is only what God gives you that is legitimate. What you try and take that God has not given you, you stole it. Even though you are a son of God. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. That's the lesson. You know, they felt it was their right. Because they are sons of the king. Yes, it was on their right. But you have to first ask God first. Then there's a time for everything. God would have blessed. Adonijah would have been blessed. Absalom would have been blessed. Even if their brother Solomon was king, all of them would have lived good lives. They would have had, they had money, they had good houses, you know, but ambition, pride, he sent Absalom to hell. And we'll see where Adonijah goes next week. Go and read your Bible. You know, it's debatable where he went. He was not as bad as Absalom. You know, let's talk to God. Take me past the outer court. And you need to go past the outer court.
Take me past the outer court into the holy place.
Past the brazen altar.
Past the brazen altar.
Lord, I want to see your face.
Lord, I want to see your face. Take me past the crowd of people.
And the priests.
And the priests who sing their praise. Lord, I hunger and thirst for your righteousness.
Oh,
but it's only found one place. So take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood.
During the Bible study, the key to this whole thing is your mouth. You can control your mouth, you control your body, you control your mind, you control your emotions. A man that is perfect with the mouth, the Bible says he's able to control everything. Raise that hand, the second hand. Just touch your lips. In the Old Testament, God gave Isaiah a vision of heaven. And he saw the angels, the cherubims, and the smoke of the Shekinah glory of the presence of God, and the whole place was shaking. So one of the angels, he flies to the altar where there were coals of fire. Then he took one of those coals and he brought it to touch Isaiah's lips. Isaiah said, "Oh, I am undone." In the light of God's glory, he saw the filthiness of his mouth. And the angel said, Olubi Johnson's translation, 21st century, "Chill. This coal will cleanse you." That coal is a type of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost and fire. He says, he put it on his tongue and it cleansed it. The ordinary righteousness of the Saul days will not get you to where God wants you to get to. You have to live. Do you know majority of Christians live in the outer court? That's why I chose this song. Even the holy place is nice, but don't stop there. That righteousness, that right doing, tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin, is found only one place. in the Holy of Holies. And you can get there by the blood of the Lamb. Raise that hand. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. I thank you for your word this afternoon. Oh, God, help me. Have mercy on me. Help me. Help me to cleanse my lips by the power of the fire of the Holy Spirit. You gave me tongues, praying in tongues, to tame my tongue. Oh God, help me. Help me. Help me. Help me to tame this tongue with the fire of the power of the Holy Spirit, so that I will control my body. I will control my mind. I will control my will. I will control my emotions to please you in all that I do. Father, have mercy on me. I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, your life and your power in sufficient measure as I pray now. Oh God, oh God, I hunger and thirst for the righteousness, the right doing of Christ Jesus that is only found in the Holy of Holies. In Jesus' name. Nekatolo mashaka. Let pray. You can still pray in tongues even though your hand is on your... It doesn't have to be on your tongue, just on your, the side of your mouth. It's just symbolic, but it's highly significant. That was what will make you avoid the rebellion of Absalom, the rebellion of Adonijah. How can Absalom, Adonijah, just follow the footsteps of Absalom within a few years? No fear. No fear of God. The same pride, the same horses, chariots, the same 50 men. Nela mashalapa. Father, celebrate prayer. We thank you for your mercies, Leprika. Lord Jesus, for your grace, Lepra. Lord Holy Ghost, for your help, Lepria. We thank you for your blood, for your life, and for your power in sufficient measure as we pray, Nekara, Lambre, into our souls, Lepritufrines, into our bodies, Leprikatolo Matufrines, into our circumstances, Lepritufrines, into our regional heavenlies, Rikotufrines, in sufficient measure, Lembradalas, no free, no fridolo mustufre. Lambre dolo moshaka, lopre de fre, no frideko, dolo moshaka. In Jesus' name. There is that a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. It looked right to Absalom. Absalom's case was different, but to Adonijah, it looked right. I'm next. Absalom is dead. It's my right. My right. But he was wrong. Do not reason things. He says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not. He didn't say don't use it. Don't depend on your understanding. And how do you help yourself? Ask. All Adonijah needed to do was to go to David. It is not for me to say I will be king. Daddy, who have you chosen? Who has God told you will be king? And that saved himself a whole lot of problems. Don't your neighbor say, for our learning. Learn that. Don't do things according to your own thinking, according to your own eyes. He looked in their eyes, but Sheba... After all, you know, somebody has his wife, he killed the husband. This Solomon is just he's not a bastard, but close to it. Yeah, that was the thinking. How wrong they were. To justify David, God appears to Solomon twice. We're going to deal with Solomon later. To confirm that this choice is okay. Even though Solomon messed it up later down the line. Let's learn the lesson. If you need healing, just raise your hand. If you are home, stretch it towards your device. And you need healing for your body, strength. Don't be like David. Hey, 70, he was already out of action. He was staying more in bed in the house. Couldn't even go out. That's not what comes by years of abuse of the physical body with uncontrolled sex. He had many wives. And we read, you know, I told us today, even concubines. What? I don't know. God have mercy on us. After all, Isaac is somebody. Just one wife. After all, Joseph is somebody. Just one wife. Same Old Testament. I don't know what David was looking for. It affected him, died prematurely, and made a mess of the history of Israel through Solomon's error. Everyone say, for our learning. Raise that hand. Father, I pray for everyone the sound of my voice that is in need of healing and strength for their bodies. I thank you for your word that has been sent out that has healing power in it. You said you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I release the healing power of God into your physical body now in Jesus' name. I say your youth will be renewed like the eagles. You're not going to get weaker, you're going to get stronger. Your eye will not be dim. And you will live long. And you will live strong. Amen. To fulfill your prophetic destiny. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. I cast out the spirit of infirmity. I cast out the spirit of oppression. The spirit of depression. The spirit of discouragement. And I impart on you the spirit of soundness of mind. Your mind will be sound. Through all your days. You're not gonna have, you know, Parkinson's disease. You're not going to have amnesia. You're not going to be forgetting things. Your mind will be sharper as you get older. The ability of the mind of Christ will be your portion. In Jesus' name. Neka shala preka tofrene. Lambraga. Lo priki. Lo shala priki kofre. La preka tofrene. Lombri de lomo shofre. Nongre de lomo shala. Lombri de frides. In Jesus' name. We're closing. I remembered something. A few days ago, well, maybe a week, I don't know, I was, you know, my wife and I were talking, you know, about Nigeria and, you know, and there was this nice advert on television where they're advertising, you know, a particular bank and all of that. So I said, honey, just listen to this. It's a true story. I said, just listen to this. Many of you will not understand what I'm talking about. The older ones will. Pastor Quaker probably will. Nigeria's driving on the right. Keeping left will be no more. Keeping right will be the law. So when you're walking, please be sure to face the traffic as before. On about a roundabout to the left, you must watch out. To the right, we're there controlling. Help us keep the traffic rolling. 1971. I remember it like yesterday. That was the year Nigeria changed from right to left. What am I saying? What I'm saying is that the guy you're getting old, that does not mean your mind should get old. Yes. It was on television. They played it so many times. You know, I just crammed it as a child and I've never forgotten it. 1972, 50 years. That's when we changed from right to left. Let's share the grace. So my wife started laughing at me. I said, Ekwa Igbagbe. You know, we have the mind of Christ. Don't let the devil tell you, oh, you know, you're getting old now. You can't remember things like you used to remember. Reject it in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord lift up his light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life of God satisfied. and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you remain or you are more meek and lowly in heart. And so you avoid the errors of Absalom and Adonijah. In Jesus' name, amen.